Let's open in our Bibles to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 7. If you have a Rock of Ages study Bible, that would be on page 606. Ezra chapter 7. Interesting note in the book of Ezra is that the first six chapters really have nothing to do with Ezra. He doesn't enter into the account given to us here until this chapter, chapter 7. And so tonight I'd like to just have a message I just simply entitled, Ezra, a man upon whom the hand of the Lord rested. And we'll see that phrase three different times in the next couple of chapters. I don't know about you, but I'd sure like to be known as a man upon whom the hand of God was upon. Because that implies so many different things. That means that God is blessing us, that God is using us, that we are the individual that God desires us to be. And so I want to look at Ezra, first at the man. Now, I'm not sure if I'll get through all three points tonight. I've got the man, the ministry, and the mission in verses or chapter 7 and 8. And so we're going to begin with the man. And I think this is just important for us to understand that if we want to be a man upon whom or a woman upon whom the hand of God is, we need to take a lesson from Ezra and see what it was about him that made him who he is. And I know D.L. Moody oftentimes did character studies in the Word of God, and it's just so beneficial for us. God gave us a record of men that he used and women that he used. And it's so important for us to look at them, realizing they're no different than we are. They have the same temptations. They have the same emotions. They encountered people that are much like the same people we encounter, sometimes worse, sometimes not as bad, but essentially the same as we are. And yet, God used them. Why? That's what we need to ask ourselves, why? And so that's what I ask myself as we look at the man. Let's go ahead. We'll just read the first six verses of chapter 7, and then we'll ask God to bless it, and we'll jump into this. Now, after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalem, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Mariath, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Bukai, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests, according to the hand of his Lord, of the Lord, his God, upon him. Father, as we consider this man who had a sin nature, a depraved heart, and yet a man that you use in a mighty way, Father, help us to understand his life enough to be able to duplicate his relationship with you in our own relationship with you. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. There's four things that we find out about Ezra, three in the verses we read, and then we'll jump down to another verse that'll tell us a fourth thing about him. The first thing we find is that he was a priest, and that's the whole idea or the whole point of the genealogy there. We're introduced to him there in verse number one as Ezra, the son of Seraiah. And then it goes down through the list all the way down to Aaron. And so we know that this was a priest of the tribe of Aaron. And so what we understand about that is this is a man who is active in serving God. This wasn't a man who just went to the temple, a man who just went through the ritual, a man who just performed what was expected of him. But this is a man who stepped up. This is a man who offered himself for service. This is what the priests did. They would be in the temple and they would do the things that God had commanded them to do. Now, obviously, at this time, the temple was in Jerusalem. Ezra was not. Ezra is in Babylon when we're introduced to him here. But nevertheless, as a priest, he would be a spiritual guide, a spiritual leader in his nation and among his people. And so we see a man who's active in serving God. And if we want to be a man or a woman upon whom the hand of God rests, then we too must be busy about serving God. Now that doesn't mean that we have to just drop everything in life and go out and start pounding on doors and telling them that they need to accept Christ as their Savior. It doesn't mean we need to sell everything we have and apply with a mission board and go overseas and tell pagan lands about their Savior. But it does mean that we're to find ministry. And we talked a lot about this morning and the idea of spiritual gifts because God has told us that as New Testament believers, that we're a royal what? Priesthood. He said it more than once. We're a royal priesthood. And so that means we're to be busy, just like Ezra, about the things of God. And in our society, in our communities, in our families, we're supposed to be representing God and serving God by serving those people, meeting the spiritual needs and addressing spiritual questions and being a spiritual leader everywhere we go. That's who Ezra was as a priest. And I think that's the first step or one of the characteristics of this man upon whom the hand of God rested. The second thing we see about him in verse number 6 is that it tells us that he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Now, a scribe and a priest obviously are the same thing here. In the New Testament, when we follow through the life of Christ in the four Gospels, we have Pharisees, Sadducees, and we have scribes and Herodians too, but basically the Pharisees and the Sadducees and then the scribes. Well, the scribes are generally Pharisees who went a step beyond and decided that they would become experts in the law of God. And so we take that thought back to Ezra, and we understand it in the same way. That Ezra was a priest who decided to take one step further. He wasn't content with being an average servant of God. He wanted to do more than his peers. He wanted to do the most. Because he was a scribe, he studied the Word of God, he applied himself in the Word of God, and he was good at it. It says he's a ready scribe, a ready scribe. This tells me he was Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, because that's how we learn the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to teach us all things whatsoever God has spoken to us. And so when we come to the Word of God, we don't just read it as reading material, but we read it as the very Word of God, that it's a spiritual book, and we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit then to reveal things to us. You'd be surprised what you could get out of God's Word if you just pray ahead of time and say, God, show me something. I yield to the Holy Spirit's control of my mind and of my heart. Now, if you do that, but you're not willing then to follow up on what he said, it's not going to be as effective. But if you have that ready heart and that ready mind to learn and apply, you'll find that God will reveal things to you. I've had people ask me from time to time where I get my messages. I'd like to think I get them directly from the Holy Spirit of God. Because I don't pull out the commentaries and collate. I mean, I did that earlier in my ministry and before I became a pastor and just kind of collate what other people said. But, you know, I found that empty. I found that dry. But I just read it and pray about it and let God lead me. And that's how I come up with my messages. Nothing fancy about it, nothing special about it. But I just firmly believe that each message I have comes from God himself for our specific situation, for the people he knows who will be here. And so I have to believe that there's at least one person here today who wants to be an individual upon whom the hand of God resides. And so we're looking at Ezra to see what he had. The first thing was that he was a priest. He was actively serving God. The second thing we see is that he's a scribe. He was knowledgeable in the scriptures, and he was spirit-led. And he was willing to take a step further than the average individual of his day. He was willing to apply himself in God's word. It was a priority with him. And so he would read the scriptures, he would study the scriptures, he would apply the scriptures to his own life and live them out. A third thing we find out about Ezra the man is that he was a good testimony in front of those that he was around. Again, in verse number 6, I'll start at the beginning of the verse. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. Now notice the end of the verse. And the king granted him all his requests, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Now what that is saying is that the king looked at Ezra's life, and he saw something in Ezra different than the other religious men of his day. Now, through the book of Daniel, we get a little bit of an idea of what the religious environment was. They had all these different people that called upon their different gods. And we know Daniel and Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael in that environment and how they stood up for the Lord God of heaven. But there were the others out there as well that were charlatans and were fakes because they were worshiping false gods. And so that's the same environment Ezra is finding himself in, though much later historically than Daniel was there. But as the king observed all the religious men that were his counselors and all the religious leaders in his kingdom, he singles out Ezra and says, you know, this guy is real. This guy is consistent. This guy practices what he preaches. And this guy is someone that I believe really, truly knows the God he speaks of. And if we're the same way, people will see the same thing in us. If we truly live what we know to be true in the Word of God. The things that God tells us, the restrictions, if we put it that way, the rules that God lays out for us, and do the things that he commands us to do, they're going to know we're real. They're going to think we're weird. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're not going to sit back and applaud and stand as you enter the room. They're going to think you're different. The same verse where he says that we're a royal priesthood always also tells us that we're a particular people, different from those around us. And that's who Ezra was. And the king noticed it, and the king liked what he saw, because the king was used to people coming up to him and trying to deceive him and try and get on his good side and put on a different face, be hypocritical about things. But in Ezra, he saw the real thing. He had a good testimony with the king. The king saw that God's hand was on this man. And so the king was willing to do some incredible things for him. And so he maintained a good testimony. You know how hard it is to achieve a good testimony. It takes a long period of consistency in front of those that have never seen a real believer. They may have seen people who are saved, but they haven't seen a real believer in Christ and how they're supposed to live. And so it takes time to build that testimony. You know how easy it is to lose your testimony? You can lose it in one statement, just like that, and it's gone. And people laugh, they'll scoff, and they'll say, you're just a hypocrite like the rest of them. We thought maybe you were the real deal, but we know better now. It takes work, it takes effort, it takes commitment, and most of all, it takes consistency, a word I've used frequently tonight. Because if we want to be an individual upon whom the hand of God rests, it is going to take consistency. It'll take consistency in front of those that are lost, take consistency in front of those that are saved. It'll take consistency when nobody's around, just doing the right thing. That's character. Character. I've heard character defined that way, doing the right thing even when no one else is there. Reputation is doing the right thing when others are looking. But character is different. Character is who we really are. Reputation is who others think we are. And they don't always agree. Ezra was a man upon whom the hand of God rested because he maintained consistently a good testimony in front of the world. The fourth thing we notice about Ezra the man is that he was a willing man. Look down in verse number 10. Verse number 10. For Ezra, what are those next four words? Had prepared his heart. Now he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Those are important. But those are insignificant to those four words. What comes after is only possible because of the fact that he prepared his heart. Did you know of being a person upon whom the hand of God rests does not happen automatically? It does not happen accidentally. You don't wake up one day and say, wow, that was pretty cool when God put his hand on me and you. No, you've got to do it intentionally. It takes work, as I've been saying, consistency, choosing the right thing day after day after day after day. We've got to prepare our hearts. And preparing our hearts implies a willingness and a yieldedness. And that's why I term this point just simply that Ezra was a willing man, willing to be used of God, willing to be different from those around him, willing to make a difference in this world, willing to sacrifice some of the pleasures of the world that God says are harmful to the individual. Boy, we have a lot of that going around in our society today, and so many Christians are crying Christian liberty because I want to enjoy those pleasures of the flesh that the world offers me. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They want to indulge in those things. So they say, this is my Christian liberty. No, it's not our Christian liberty. Nothing of the thing. Now, God allows us to choose those things that are harmful to us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He'll let you choose those things, knowing they're harmful for you, because he has warned you that they're harmful. But if we're going to be an individual upon whom the Spirit of God resides, we're going to make a different choice. We're going to choose those things that please God. And we're going to deny the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We're going to deny those fleshly lusts. And we're going to choose for God and follow his word, understanding that those things are ultimately harmful to us. And so again, the world's going to look at us cross-eyed and they're going to say, well, there's a weird one. And they're going to come up with all different names for you. But we've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to take it. So many Christians turn their back at this point. I often have made reference to a fellow, his name was Randy. I don't even remember his last name now, that I used to work with. And it was just he and I in the break room. We'd have some tremendous spiritual conversations. The only guy in the whole shop I could talk spiritual conversations with. And I had spiritual conversations with some of my lost friends trying to win them to Christ, but we could talk about spiritual things as brothers in Christ. That's a whole different world. But you know, the moment that door opened, he wouldn't talk about it anymore. In fact, he would join the talk of the world of those that just came in. And they were worldly. When I got my job there, my dad and stepmom, well, my dad worked there, my dad and stepmom both warned me. The way they phrase it, they hire people off the streets. These were people that were pretty rough, people that were into all kinds of things. We'll just put it that way. It was easy to stand out there. I'll tell you what. In the darkest night is where the light shines the easiest and the brightest. Where has God placed you? Are you willing to make that difference? Are you willing to be that light? Are you willing to take it on the chin for God? Willing to say, Lord, I don't care what they think of me. I'm just going to be concerned about pleasing you. That's where Ezra was. And therefore, we have the following three things in this verse that he was willing to do. It tells us, first of all, there again in Ezra 7, verse number 10, prepared his heart, first of all, to seek the law of the Lord. To seek means to study and to learn. He didn't have to go searching for it. He had it. And so when it says seek, he's studying to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That's what it's saying that he's doing here. He was seeking it. He was studying it. He was learning it. He was finding out what God was saying. And he was comparing scripture with scripture and trying to get this doctrine down correctly and knowing what God has for himself individually and for his people corporately. He was studying and he was praying and learning over the Word of God. He was willing to do that. It's not necessarily an easy thing to do. It's a lot easier in our day and age than it was in his because we have so many study helps. And if you don't have a lot of money to invest in it, you can go online and get them for free. Boy, Lauren hit a bullseye, Stephen's wife, for me Friday. She went to a used bookstore, and she started sending me pictures on my phone of the books that were only a dollar a piece. I must have bought about 40 books. When she went to buy them, the guy told her, yeah, I've got a bunch of boxes in the back. And so Amy has a couple days off in a couple weeks, and we're planning to go up there, and guess where we're going to go? I told her, I better bring my truck. Are you willing to do that? I mean, if you priced my library, there's a whole lot of money in that office. But I didn't pay face value because I'm willing to wait and get the right books. I'm not going to just buy any old book. And I hope you're the same way. You see, this is Ezra and who he was. He was seeking to study and to learn and use the aids and the helps available to him. Now, as I said, we've got a whole lot more. And so we can run into gold mines like Lauren ran into on Friday. Those books will be helpful. Those books will be interesting. They'll help me understand God's Word. But he took it a step further. You see, there are many that are willing to seek and to study. You have a Bible study, there's a lot of interest. People want to talk about God's Word. I remember we had one fella, he was in his early to mid-20s. He only came once, and it's been a number of years ago when he was here. But this wasn't what he expected. He expects us to sit around in a circle, a verse be presented, and everybody give their viewpoint, everybody give their ideas. And everybody's idea and viewpoint is valid. It sounds nice in theory, but that's not the way God's people have learned his word in a church setting. It's easy to get people who want to study and learn. They want to talk about it. But as I said, Ezra went the next step. And so let's see what it says there in verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. What are those next four words? And to do it. Now, it's only one step in our outline and in the verse there, but that one step is a doozy. It's like having a door on the second story of your house and stepping out and finding there's no staircase there. You go all the way down. It is a big step. And if you're not prepared for it, that's going to be where you crash and burn. He had a willing heart, not just to learn what God's word said, but then to live it, apply it in his life, to do it. And that is momentous if we can do that. Just simply obey God's word. He was willing to change his ways so that his ways conformed to God's ways. Now, this is the big issue. Being willing. Now, remember, he prepared his heart. He was willing to do things. And here we find that as he learned new things from God's word, he was willing to conform his life to match. We don't have to scratch our heads and wonder why Ezra was a man upon whom the hand of God rested. Because this is a man who was willing to do whatever God asked him to do. I don't know that Ezra is put up on a pedestal like he should be by Christians who study the Word of God, but this is an extraordinary man that we read about here in this book. But you know, he took it even a further step, a third step. As he prepared his heart, he prepared it to seek the Word of God. He prepared it to obey the Word of God. But as we read back in verse number 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He was willing to teach others. Did you know teaching isn't always popular? Now, in a church setting or in a Bible study setting, that's what people want to hear. They want someone to teach the Word of God. It may be something they've heard. Pretty much there's not anything new being taught from God's Word. We've been studying it for 6,000 years since God put Adam and Eve on the planet. And so there's not a lot of new going around, but we need to be reminded of these things regularly and repeatedly. But have you taught God's Word in the workplace? Have you tried that one out for size? That can be exciting because you never know how they're going to respond. And I had some interesting conversations. We'll just call them that. When I was in the workplace in the print shop, as I did my best to teach them God's Word. And I always like to take a humorous side if someone told me that, they on Monday about how drunk they got over the weekend. I'd just say, well, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that. You must have had a horrible time. Teaching them the principles of God's Word. And we just need to be willing to stand up. What about abortion in our nation? You know, they say it's a woman's right, and now Congress wants to make that a law in our Constitution, an amendment to the Constitution, that abortion is a woman's right. What about the right of that poor little baby who gets yanked out of the womb? I read a news article this morning about this has to do with abortion, about our vaccines for the coronavirus. I didn't know this. Stephen mentioned it to me Thursday, I think, when I was talking to him. And then I read the article this morning. The article this morning was about the Catholics, but they're kind of in a quandary. What I didn't realize, and what apparently is the truth, that Stephen also mentioned to me, is that these vaccines were developed by using babies, aborted babies' tissues and their cells. Now, one was in, they were both, I don't remember the country, Netherlands, I think. One was aborted in 1973 and the other in 1976. And they've been preserving this cell line, and they use it for medical research. The Johnson & Johnson one that just came out not only used those cells to test their shot on or their medicine on, but they incorporated it in their shot. Is abortion wrong? Now, when Stephen was talking to me about this issue, he was kind of wondering, is it wrong or is it right to use aborted babies in this fashion? But the bottom line is, yes, it is. And so they never should have done it. You can't change the fact now. You can't un-abort those babies. But are we willing to teach on subjects that are unpopular, like abortion? What about sodomy? Are you willing to stand up and say, you know, that's just disgusting. Did you know that's wrong, that God calls it an abomination? You see, Ezra was willing, had prepared his heart ahead of time. You know, that was in the past tense. He was willing to teach others the Word of God. And we're going to find before this book is done is he is going to become very unpopular. And God is going to move his heart to preach some very unpopular subjects. But he prepared ahead of time so that he didn't waver when the time came. He didn't change the message of God's Word. He just simply stood up as a proclaimer of what God's truth said. There's no wonder this is a man upon whom God's hand rested. God did great things through Ezra. We'll find that out also as we read through this book. Wouldn't you like to have some God do some great things with your life? Doesn't matter how young we are. Doesn't matter how old we are. If we're breathing God's air, we can still do some great things for God. Won't you be a man upon whom, or a woman upon whom, the hand of God rests? Prepare your heart tonight. Be willing as he was. Father, we thank you for giving us this account of Ezra and a little bit of detail as to who this man was. Father, may we desire to have the same characteristic traits that Ezra had, that you might be willing and desirous to use us as you were he. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.